Welcome to the Carlin and Laidlaw Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, did you ever watch that movie Field of Dreams?
With Kevin Costner?
Yep.
And the cornfield?
Yes.
I did many. When did that come out? Because I think most people would have watched that, wouldn't they? It was a good film, but it's been a long, long time since I watched it.
1989.
Okay. Maybe I'll watch. I don't think I would have watched it then, but maybe later on.
Well, they had an idea last year to put on a game at Iowa where Field of Dreams was based, but it got cancelled because of the pandemic. And for me and my wife Sue, we were planning on going to America and we're going to try to fit that game in. So we missed out. But they had it this year, but I couldn't go, obviously, because of lockdown and everything like that. But they actually played it at Iowa with Chicago White Sox and the New York Yankees.
Fabulous. And so I imagine, I haven't seen that. There must be footage of it. They would have some great special effects, I imagine.
Well, they had Kevin Costner came out of the corn. They had the corn all around. They had him coming out and he just started looking around. And then afterwards, all the players that were
just
playing
walked out
and it sort of, you know, brought a bit of a tear to the eye.
It would, because I know I give you a hard time about baseball, but your passion for baseball is admirable. And so I'm sure you would have loved that. And it's a shame that you couldn't get there.
Yeah, but
you've done a bit of traveling for like around the place with you and Sue incorporating some
baseball.
Sort of famous baseball games.
Yeah, in America and London and Japan. Yeah, we've been around a bit.
Do you think, are they going to do this on an annual basis, like every, or maybe annually, or?
Well, they're talking about having another game next year between the Chicago Cubs and Cincinnati Reds, but I kind of felt the magic of it was the first time and having the Chicago White Sox, because in the film, the original person was Joe Jackson, who was part of the Chicago White Sox in 1919 that threw the World Series. So it was almost like a redemption film for him and a few of his mates. So it kind of made sense to have the Chicago White Sox.
It would. I mean, that's obviously what the movie – now, it didn't happen in real life, of course. But So if I remember the movie, what was the famous saying? There was that famous
– If you build it, he will come.
He will, and I always think they will come, but it was he will come.
Well, originally the voice said he will come. And when you watch the movie, you have an appreciation for they will come because you see the players. But near the end of the movie – There's one of the players comes over and has a catch with Kevin Costner's character, and it's actually Kevin Costner's father. So had a real touching end to it in that regard.
Yes, I do remember it being a very touching movie and sort of a little bit weird because you think this guy, like hearing voices is probably a sign of other things.
Oh, yeah.
But in the world of movie magic –
Yeah, look, I'll tell you this. I remember when I was at school, I read a book called The Natural and Bernard Malapert. And
that was the movie with Robert Redford,
wasn't it? Yeah. But the point I want to make there is the movie was a bit different because Roy Hobbs, who Robert Redford played in the movie, he struck out in the last game and he was in disgrace. But in the movie, he hit that home run that hit the scoreboard and all
smashed
lit up.
Yeah, that was exciting.
And I remember...
The one where he has that bat made from
Wonder
like
Boy.
A tree where, and does that break?
Yeah.
Does the bat break as well on the last hit?
No, it breaks before that.
Right, okay.
And he gets another bat
and
hits it.
And still does it.
Now, the point of that was the film came out in 1984 and I was thrilled with it. I waited in anticipation because I'd read the book a couple of times and oh, wow, I'm going to watch this film. And the ending was even better. And I thought, this is going to be my favourite baseball film forever. You know, it's just how I felt at the time. Anyway, 4 years later in 1988, Los Angeles Dodgers were playing Oakland in the World Series. And in game one, Los Angeles were behind and they had two out and they brought on this star player called Kirk Gibson, who was injured. He couldn't run properly. And they brought him as a pinch hitter and he got to a full count. He's fouling the balls off. So expected him to get out and that would have been the game and Oakland would have won that particular game. But he had a home run and they won and they ended up winning the series. To my mind, that was sort of, you know, that was...
A Roy Hobbs moment.
Yeah. And sort of, and I cemented in my mind that film would always be the best. But then 1 year later, Field of Dreams came out.
And surpassed it.
Yeah. And I watched it the first time and I was just in awe. I just could not believe that they'd make a movie like that. You know, that a baseball movie which had so much feeling, so much character, so much history, so much everything. It was just unbelievable.
It is an interesting story. Now, you said that was based on a book.
Yep.
As well. And when was the book released? It was an older story?
No, it was in the 80s, about 84. About 1984, that was W.P. Kinsella. And the character that Kevin Costner played was Ray Kinsella. So the name Kinsella was from the author.
Okay. Oh.
And the book wasn't called Field of Dreams. The book was called after the player, Joe... the right fielder that
can ask me. You're asking me a baseball question. If you don't know, I definitely don't know.
No, but you know, there's been a lot of talk about at the time the papers were saying in 1919, say that so Joe and all this type of stuff, and he batted really well in the World Series, but he was the first character that came back in the Field of Dreams, and Joe Jackson.
Joe Jackson.
And it was quite telling in regards to that feeling of redemption. You know, he got another chance.
Well, that's what – I mean, I was trying to think about the movie, and it's been a long time, and I haven't – I thought I'd go back and have a look at a few things, but I didn't get a chance. But I clearly remember, like, the players coming out of the corn, and obviously they are ghosts as such, but they're like – it's like real flesh and blood. They weren't portrayed as some transparent type figure, were they? So no. It was like it was really happening.
Yep.
And, of course, then other people, like part of the magic, I guess, of the movie is that other people are aware of them as well. So it's not just Kevin Costner's character.
Although some weren't. Like his brother-in-law who was pushing Costner and his wife in the movie to sell the property because of, you know, he mowed down all the corn to build the baseball diamond and everything like that. He couldn't see the players, could not see them. But then near the end, he could see them. And where did these players come from?
That shift in understanding.
Yeah. Yeah. And there were so many. Bette Lancaster was in it as a doctor, Moonlight Graham. And
go back and watch it again.
Oh, well, I never had the opportunity to watch it before the game. The game was on just recently, 12th of August, and I've been looking forward to it, and I was not disappointed.
So did
fantastic.
You watch it like a replay? Or what, did they have it streaming?
Well, yeah. I listened to it live and then I watched it afterwards.
And what was the game like?
It was fantastic. It was unbelievable. Early in the game, there was 8 home runs hit.
Wow. Was it a full, like, regulation?
9 innings, yeah.
So they really, okay. And but, like, size of the field?
Yep. And every home run went into the court.
It wasn't a bit like the All-Star games where they sort of – pitched up a few ones to give them a hit.
No, it was both teams were trying to win. Yep. It was, you know, it was a fair income game. New York, there's a guy from New York called Aaron Judge, and he hit a home run in the top of the third, I think it was, which put New York ahead, but 3-2, and then the White Sox scored some more runs, and they were 5-3 up in the bottom of the third, and then they got another 2-run home run, so they're 7-3 up. New York got another run about the fifth or sixth. So 7-4, that scoreline held up to the ninth. And then in the ninth innings with two out, one player on base, Judge hit another home run to make it one run behind. Then the next guy, he got on base, and then another home run, put the Yankees in front. But then Chicago still got to bat, and they had one man on base with one out, and their shortstop, he hit a home run to win the game. Wow. Walk-off home run. Unbelievable. You couldn't ask for a better game.
And did they have people, were spectators there, or was it set up a bit more like rural setting like the movie?
Yeah, it was rural, but they had 8,000, so it wasn't a large crowd per se. But what they had, they played it in the same cornfield, but it was over from the original film diamond, and then they'd cut out a maze in between in the corn so the kids could play. They had an old scoreboard, like a wooden scoreboard. It was just – everything was done to perfection.
Sounds like it.
They had Kevin Costner sort of talk before the game. They had the national anthem. Everyone was introduced, just like an All-Star game or a World Series game. And it had a real special tight feeling right through the game. It was just incredible. And the game itself, you felt like the White Sox were going to win it, but then the way New York came from nowhere to get in front.
They didn't enjoy the game, did they? They didn't take any pay under the table.
No. You're referring to the White Sox from 1919, I gather.
I'm learning from you. See, I'm learning about the history of baseball.
But you forgot about Joe Jackson. We were just talking about him.
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Yes. Yeah. And you know how he got that nickname?
Not wearing shoes.
Well, what happened is there was one game where he came out. And the shoes they gave him, this is in a minor league game, they gave him blisters. So he took them off and he went out to the field for one innings without shoes.
And that was it.
And that's how he got his nickname.
Well, nicknames are a bit like that. You've got to be careful what you do, don't you? Because you might end up with a nickname shoeless isn't too bad, but sometimes people do things once and that's they get a nickname for it.
Yeah, I've heard many, many nicknames for you.
Don't start.
But, yeah, look, to me, it was probably the most interesting game ever played for Major League Baseball that wasn't a playoff game or an All-Star game. It was just the way the Major League Baseball did it, I thought it was fantastic. And, you know, I was really disappointed this year with the All-Star game. They changed the uniforms. Usually with an All-Star game, all the American League players and the National League players wear their club uniforms. And it's a real sight. I really enjoy that. But this year, one team had one colour, the other team had another colour, but they had New York had the New York symbol on it. Okay. But it just, to me, it took away, and I was a bit disappointed with that. So I think they've more than made up.
You love tradition though, don't you?
Yes, I do. Do you?
Some.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's like anything. When we have a passion for something, we like to see it, and if we're not involved, then we probably don't get so carried away. But certainly when we talk baseball, SANFL, you've got to be the tradition.
Well, I'm sure you have your passions.
I do. In fact, I'll tell you a corn story. Speaking of corns, many years ago, I was training in Germany, not in baseball, hammer throwing. And the field that we trained in, all the best German throwers used to train there. There was a little wooden hut. And so when people think, oh, you know, great training facilities, well, this was a corn field and all the best German throwers would train there. Little wooden hut where the coach would stand and look through the window and all the hammers would hang up. But at about the 75-meter mark, the cornfield was there. So if you threw the hammer further than 75 meters, you had to be searching through the cornfield. So we used to have to tie long bits of pink ribbon to the handle. And so you could actually find your hammer inside the cornfield. So rather than people coming out of the cornfield, hammers were going into the cornfield.
Did you ever have any of the hammer throwers go into the cornfield and not come out?
No, but one day I went in there, and I know this is off track now, but I found a baby right next to my hammer was a baby hedgehog.
Yeah.
And my hammer had just missed it, luckily. Ooh. So I picked it up in my hammer glove and took it back to the hut, and I looked after it for the training session, and then I released it again. But I thought, you're a very lucky animal.
Yeah. Well, that was probably his field of dreams.
Well, I think he at least survived, so that's probably a good thing.
Well, so ends another Cut Unload Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.